You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. The Gospel of John and chapter 15. Could we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? And our God and Father, again, God, from our head to our heart, God, deal with us, that we would be the immediate beneficiaries of your presence, of your word. Thou knowest all of tomorrow and the day after. Thou knowest of all of our yesterdays. So God, thank you. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have got to chapter 15 and in verse 11. And in verse 11, you would note, chapter 15, these things have I spoken unto you. And we keep reading these things and these things. So these things, in this case, certainly would include 1 through 10, and even 13 and 14, chapters 13 and 14. Especially 15, 1 through 10. Where God is driving home a point, the necessary understanding of having a relationship to Him that allows Him to be who He is. Therefore, the illustration, the vine and the branch, which was very, very familiar to the Israelite, to the Jews. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, so we're talking about an abiding, continue. Do you see the word remain in verse 11? Is the word abide in verse 10? And you keep going in verse 9, the word continue. And verse 4, the word abide, you're looking at the same verb all through it. So you get the meanings of it. Now, so in the process of all of that, God, in your wonderful person, you are looking for the believers to abide. And you gave the wonderful illustration over and over again, so that there would be no question. You reminded them, there's only 11 of them now, but the numbers weren't the important thing. The heart is the important thing. To have a heart, that's what it's all about. God plus no one is everything. So now, here we are looking in verse 11 and that, and I have spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, abide in you. Now, so we share together in verse 9 of that the Lord Jesus Christ was being, in his perfect humanity, was loved by the Father. So the perfect man is loved and enjoys God's wonderful, his creator, God. And God is being who he is in the wonderful life of the Lord Jesus, like you did in Sunday school with God's infinitude and his immutability. Now, so here we are looking, and the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect man is enjoying and abiding in God's love. Not only that, in verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, is abiding in God's word, the commandments. He's abiding in that. And in the process, in the process, God being God, perfect humanity. Remember, slide over if you would, just to remind yourself, over to chapter 14, verse 7. If you had known me, said the Lord, they're looking at him, they're looking at the Lord. And he had just said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, verse 6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, looking at that, so if you're looking at, they're looking at him. And he says, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, satisfied. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, 3 1/3 years or so there, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? The wonderful purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ was not only to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, but he is the man God intended, God designed humans. God designed humans to enjoy God, to show God, make the invisible God visible, and to be able to look at God by way of the human. And God in the human would be God. He would enjoy himself being God. The Lord Jesus Christ was enjoying and abiding in God's love. He was abiding in God's word. And here, he's abiding in God's joy. That's what he's doing. He's enjoying God in the fullness of God in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore, chapter 15, and verse 11. These things have I spoken, and perfect, I have spoken them, and they remain spoken, they remain valid. I have spoken them that, purpose, resulting in what? I've done all this, resulting in that my joy, the joy that belongs to me, my joy, it's mine, not anyone else's, it's mine, that my joy might remain, abide, find a home in you. My love would find a home in you. My word would find a home in you. My joy would find a hold of you. When you received me as your Savior, you received all of God's wonderful, wonderful person in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, when they needed to understand that abiding was absolutely essential, and that abiding made possible the joy, the peace, the love, the word, you don't have it. You can read it, you can build the library, you can do whatever you want. The Lord Jesus Christ brings all of those wonderful attributes, characteristics, benefits of God in himself into the heart. Think of, without turning there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. God hath made him to be our righteousness, our sanctification, etc., etc., etc. God has made him God. You want to be God. God, can anyone else be God? No one else can be God. What else can you make God? God. Can you make a tree God? No. Can you make a person God? No, they're only persons. Can you make an angel God? No, they're only angels. What can be God? No one can be God. Only God can be God. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so how can you enjoy God's peace, God's love, God's joy, God's word? How can you enjoy it without God? You can't. It's simple. It isn't complex. It isn't confusing. God, in his wonderful person, in Christ Jesus, brings that to you. Now, hang on, because I want to get to joy in a little bit. Now, in the person, so that he might remain in you, that my joy, so all of it belongs to God in a most wonderful way. And, you want to read the end of verse 11, that your joy might be full, so that you might have your joy full, wonderfully, wonderfully full, complete. And the word to be full, to made to be full, to make complete, to make fill full, to be filled up in a most wonderful way. Now, in order to get that a little bit, go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, in chapter 1. God wants to make something in the believing heart, that is joy. He wants to make that complete. Not incomplete, not partial. He wants the joy to be complete, full, like a full glass of water. Full, full. That's what he's looking for. Now, John chapter 1, you would recall verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, our Lord Jesus, to have perfect humanity in order to demonstrate God's wonderful purpose for a human being. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, unique of the Father, full, there's your little word, full, complete, full of grace and full of truth. Now, full of grace, full. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace. Now, you slide down, as you know, verse 16. And of his fullness, there's your little word, of the completeness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord Jesus Christ the perfect man? Is he complete man? Absolutely. Is God in him complete? God, are you going to be God, the God-man in Christ Jesus? Are you going to be fully, fully God? Are you going to be partially God? No, I can't be partially God, as we shared in his mutability and that kind of thing. No, I have to be all of God. All of God, always at once. Now, sliding over, if I can, to verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. So God, when we receive the Lord as our Savior, John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the privilege, the right to become sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So when we receive you as our Savior, we receive, verse 16, of his fullness have we received, the same verb, and grace for grace, in place of grace. Now God, you're going to give us the fullness of God in your grace, in grace and truth. And you are full of grace, and you are full of truth. And you're going to go and make sure that the heart of the believing one who's received the Lord as their Savior, they are going to enjoy a fullness. If I can, with the glass again. Here's the glass and a pitcher. And you can tell it's a sacred pitcher. It has a cross in it. So the water is holy water. Okay, now, so here we go. And we're going to fill it. And we're going to fill it. Not full, because I'm probably knock it over. Now, and you know what? We could drink out of it. And drink again. And it's going to stay full. The more we take, it always is full. Christ in you is the fullness of God. And he gives you himself, which is grace. Hang on, because I'm going to lose you somewhere. I'll lose myself. Grace. The word joy is connected to the word grace. Just like that. So it's important. You want to understand what joy is. You need to know what grace is. Grace is all connected. So God, what are you going to do? You're going to go, and we're going to keep Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, work, home, school, easy, hard, much, little. And here we come. And you know what? We take, if we're going to look to you, God, and trust you, then you're going to be to us, bring to us what? You're going to bring to us the peace, your peace. You're going to be to us love. You're going to be to us, you bring the word. You are the word to become flesh. And you're going to bring to us the joy. So that the more we take in grace, it keeps coming. It's always full. So the grace that you used yesterday, if you did, it's full. And the grace you take at this moment, and God fills it up again. In other words, God never quits being God to you. Do you understand that? He never quits. So God, are you going to be God? I'm going to trust you. Like, think of mutability, infinity. God, here I am. Now God is going to be exactly who he was to Moses. He doesn't change. So God, here we are looking to you. And God, you're going to be in your wonderful person, God. 5 minutes from now, are you going to be God? I'm going to be God. So if I keep trusting you, grace, abiding, and grace, are you going to keep being God? I am. So what's going to happen to my grace? It's full. It never goes down. It's never shortchanged. You never get less, never more. Always full. It's complete. If you would, in its fullness, God, just to see it a little more, on that part of it anyway, over to the easiest of all the different places to go, Ephesians. For the believing heart, in Ephesians, if I can, picking up, please, your relationship. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you've been placed into the body of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. You enjoy a unique oneness, which is why the Lord is going to say in John 15, unless you abide in me, without me you can do nothing. There's a unique relationship, God, in the body. It's a oneness. I need to understand the oneness in a practical, profitable way in order to please God. And I understand, God, I need to abide in the oneness. I'm not a part of the body out here in a jar. No, I'm in the body. I need to understand that. And I need to enjoy that. Hang on. So God, as we do that, so God, Ephesians chapter 1, you're going to say it, so we all over the place. Ephesians 1 and verse 22, as you know, and hath put all things under his feet. Our Lord Jesus, God has put all things under his feet, and gave him, the Lord Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. Christ is the sovereign head and Lord to the church. And then you don't have to guess what he means by church, because then he says, verse 23, the church, which is his body. Not only is that relationship his body, but, verse 23, the fullness, there's your little word, and there it is again, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the body enjoys the complete fullness, the head, all of your parts of your body, your nervous system and all of that, all are connected to the head, to your brain, the big up there with all the electrons and their stuff going on. All that stuff going on. It's all connected. So if you hit your little finger, message goes all the way up, and the brain knows it. And the brain sends the thing down and says, don't worry about it, I'll get a bandage. You see? That's a good. Now, so God, here we are. in the body. Now, what do you want us to do? I want you to abide like the vine and the branch in order to enjoy that relationship. If you don't abide, you're like a piece of out here and you have no benefits. And you have to abide. Therefore, all the fullness, God, what are you saying in John 15:11? I want your fullness to be full. I don't want it to be half empty. I want it full. I want my joy complete, filled full in you. That's what I want. Now, and while you're here, all kinds of places, chapter 3 and verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so we aren't going to figure it out, of that, in order that purpose, you might be filled, there's your word, with all the fullness of God. Now, God, you want us to be loved? Uh-huh, I want my love. I want you to abide in my love, not your love for me, my love for you. My love. I don't want yours. I want you to know my love. Hang on. And verse 19. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Over to chapter 4. And in verse 13. What's the purpose of us sitting here on the Lord's Day, this today? What is the purpose for sitting here? Not just to get a bit of information that you may or may not have. But, verse 13, we're sitting here, verse 12, is that why we're here? I'll read it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body. It isn't to go to reach the world, it's to build up you and me in a relationship to God so that we're abiding. So we are intelligently abiding in God so that we can have what? His joy. Now, why didn't you tell that to 7 million others? No, they won't hear me. I found 11 that would. And they hear me. And they get the message. Hang on to that. You pick that up tonight. Now, therefore, while you're here, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity, the oneness of the faith, the body of truth to be believed, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, complete, full man, unto the measure, how much, of the stature. What's the standard? The standard for all of this? The stature, the growth of the fullness of Christ. He is full. Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, full of grace and truth. He's the standard. So why are you saying in John 15, verse 9, it's my love, not your love for me. I want you to enjoy my love. I want you to enjoy my word. I want you to enjoy my peace, verse 14. I want you to enjoy my joy. It isn't yours. It's something I'm doing for you. Hang on to that. We aren't talking about finding happiness, you know. We aren't talking about that from a human standpoint. We aren't doing that. God, if you give us that, it's all over the place. No, you didn't. You never told us. Never told us. We're in our declaration, we're to pursue life. We have the privilege of pursuing life and what? And liberty and the pursuit of happiness. To pursue it. And back then the word meant to know the good. Happiness, to be under, be in the benefit, to have the benefit of good things. Happiness. Now, here we are, so God, you want that to happen. And therefore, verse 18, be not drunk, 5 and 18, don't be drunk, don't try to get high or fed or satisfied in some way. Don't do that. With wine. Wherein is excess, that's what's going to happen, put you out of business. But, on the contrary, be filled, there's your little word, be filled with the Holy Spirit. be full, be full, be full, be full. Now, having said that, and we'll keep going. All over the place, Colossians. God, you always talk about fullness. Well, I got to do one of, because I don't trust. Over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9. In him, in Christ, 2 and 9. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God's Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In him is all of God. Verse 10. And you are complete. There's the word full. You are complete, full in him. You want half empty, you want empty, you want half, you want three quarters. You're full. God didn't give you part of himself. Either you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, and you receive God in his fullness. Not God in it partial, not God sometime and maybe not. No, God in his awesome presence being, that's God. You can't be other than God. You can't be less than or more than. So when we receive you, God, we receive your fullness. That's right, in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, back over, if you would, please, to John chapter 11. Chapter 15. No? Yes. John chapter 15 and verse 11. John chapter 15 and verse 11. And you'll note, so when you read the end of verse 11, that your joy might be full. Whatever it is, God wants it full. So we're not talking about there's something missing. It's all, or nothing. There's no partial. Now, so therefore, and you'll notice the word as you read that, my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. So we're looking at the word joy, and the root verb for joy is to be rejoicing, to be glad, to be pleased with. What pleases, what rejoices, to be glad. That's the root. And out of that root, out of that word, comes all these words, one of which is grace, which we read. John 1, 16, grace for grace. It comes out of this. Joy, grace comes. Forgiveness rises up out of it. Forgiveness comes out of this word, rejoicing. Wow, what a word. Hang on. Now, so therefore, all the property of a thing that causes joy is the word. Now, and it's used by the Greeks and the heathen. What do you need? Joy is a possession of the gods, little g. Of all their gods, what do their gods have that humans don't have? Joy. Their gods have joy. We don't have any joy. Who owns it? God owns the joy. Wow. Now, so you got the idea. So God, to give joy, to bring God being God in his awesome, awesome being, and God is glorious. Now, what are you going to do, God? You're going to give him your joy. You enjoy, to say it, you enjoy, you experience and enjoy being who you are. Now, I'm just thinking out loud here. God enjoys being who he is. He enjoys being who he is perfectly, perfectly. Now, God, that's an awesome thing for you to enjoy who you are in a most awesome way and to rejoice. And the word we're looking at now, enjoy, the noun, in verse 11, is joy. And it has to do with this rejoicing, being pleased, etc. And it's an inclination, is the background to the word. Inclining. It is God's inclination. It is God's inclination, his pleasure, to be inclined in your direction. God is inclined to you. He's inclined. That's the word joy. To be inclined to you. Wow. Joy. Inclination. Now, having said that, his pleasure, his delight. And therefore, God, I want to get a handle on that. Now, it's yours. Your joy. Now, what are you joying about? God, before anything was in angels, what do you know? We know what? That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost decided to send the Lord Jesus Christ to be a human when there wasn't any, to die on the cross, to be the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world, which didn't exist. Do you think God was sad about that? Do you think he was sad? It was a delight to God's. It's God's plan. Hang on to that. It's God's plan. What are you excited about? What are you enjoying, God? I'm enjoying my plan. Hang on. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, I need to remind myself a little bit more. Picking up in Hebrews chapter 12. And you know it, I'm going to read for time's sake in verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're to run the race that is set before us, etc. Verse 1. Verse 2, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What are we looking at you, God, for? Who? For the joy. There's your word. The joy, the inclination, the pleasure that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He stepped in it. He didn't even let it bother him. What people thought and how they thought and how they felt. It didn't mean he just charged forward. Wow. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what did he do? Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the earth. What was the most awesome, wonderful thing that had happened in history at that time? Our Lord Jesus Christ, upper room. What do you say? I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to do. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But do you know God in all of his fullness is excited about it? He's delighted. He's pleased. It's his pleasure to experience. What are you going to call it? Joy. Joy. To go to the cross. Uh-huh. That's what he's doing. He's going to the cross, despising the shame. Now, God, you endured the cross and despising the shame. I did that. Now, having said that, so God, that's a delight to you. Wow. Now, having said that, let's add just another little piece. He's delighted to do it. It's God's eternal design to do it. Now, in the upper room, how did the disciples, the 11 of them, receive that piece of information that I just read? They didn't know it, not then, but they did get the message straightway from the Lord himself. John chapter 14. Back over to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. And picking up, if I can, if you can, John chapter 14, and going directly, if I can, to verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away. Remember, they're all upset because he's going away, and they don't understand why he's going away in chapter 13. So now, here we are, verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come, and go, how I go away, and come again unto you. I'm going to go away and come again. If you loved me, remember the word love? My love abide in you. Okay. That. If you loved me, and if the word if is in the second class, it means and you don't. You don't love me. You are not loving me. That's the trouble. You aren't letting me love you. You aren't loving me. Hang on. If you love me and you don't, you would rejoice. There's your little word. You would be happy, joyful. Why? Because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And it isn't about me, it's about God the Father. Okay, so about God the Father and joy. You should be so excited, I just told you. I'm going to be crucified and go to heaven. Are you excited? They aren't excited at all. They're sad. They have no hope at all. It's all over. Prison and death, maybe. That's all they see. Wow. That's all they see. If you just understood, my Father sent me before anything ever was created. He sent me to die on the cross. Think of John chapter 13. You're there. Don't look at me. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, right next door. Verse 31. Therefore, 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the, that's Judas Iscariot, now is the Son of Man glorified, going to be crucified, and God is glorified in the Son of Man. Verse 32. If God be glorified in him, in the Son of Man, God shall also glorify him, the Son of Man, in himself. God is going to be glorified in himself, being God, and shall straightway glorify him. It's a wonderful relationship. God is delighted to go to send his Son to the cross, to be created the Lamb of God before anything. It's a pleasure of God. It's the delight of God to do something so wonderful to glorify himself. On Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ said, I endure the cross. It's joy what I'm doing. It's a wonderful thing that I'm doing. What are you doing? I'm paying the price for the sin of the world. Who's paying the price? God is paying the price in his Son. Who's he paying the price for? For the whosoever that would believe. He's dying for the sin of the world. It is God's pleasure to have created you. Is it not? Do you understand that? See, look at my body. I don't care what your body is. It's not about your body. We just shared it in Sunday school. All souls, S-O-U-L, souls, are the same size. One person's 95 feet tall and the other one's a foot tall. Doesn't make any difference. They're the same size inside. Do you understand? They aren't different sizes, you know, small, large, medium. You don't have... it gets silly. Anyway, you got the idea. Now, so God, what are you doing? God, you're going to go, and you're going to go in a most wonderful way, and it is your privilege to create us. And why are you going to create us? Because I'm going to die for you. And it's an excitement to me. It is my pleasure. I am all delighted. What are you saying, Lord? John 15:11. I want my joy to be found in you. Not your joy. You don't even understand it. You don't even want to understand it. I created you for my joy. It's my pleasure. It's my experience. Do you understand? I died. Oh, you say, don't you understand? I love you. I saved you. I'm delighted. God, what are you telling us? To abide in what? So that my joy, Your joy, the believer's joy, can enjoy what God does. God's enjoying being creating you, saving you. It's God's delight. Do you understand? You'd never know that if you went to church across the world, unfortunately. You'd never know it. That's what it's about. And that's why we're trying to, there's no joy. No joy, forget that, joy. That's what the angel said in John to the shepherds, remember? That's where the title came from. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, and good tidings of great joy. He said, the angel said, you guys ought to be super duper excited. You've got great news. About what? Great joy. You're going to see him lying in a manger. It is God's privilege to do this. God, who is infinite, unchangeable, is going to put himself in a little baby. You won't believe it. He's immeasurable. Just think of 6 o'clock, Sunday school. And God's going to put himself in that little baby. And the little baby, and he's going to back off, and that little baby's going to grow, and that perfect man, and Jesus Christ in his perfect humanity, is called the Son. Are you going to help him? Nope, I'm there in a relationship. But the Son of Man is going to have to exercise all of it on his own, relating to me in a most wonderful way. He's the perfect Savior. And he's going to do perfectly what I expect him to do, to honor me. And in doing so, he's going to do so, being the sinless Son of God, he's going to go to the cross and die. Now, having said that little bit, so God, you are going to rejoice in the process. You are rejoicing in our creation. You are rejoicing in our redemption. It is your joy to save us. Uh-huh. That's what it is. Over to Luke. Luke. I knew the time would disappear, but I hope you get a little. Get a little. And maybe, I don't know. Get it where you can. If the Lord tarries and we live, it'll disappear. And you won't hear it again. I'll bet you. I'll bet you a buck. I'll bet you $2. No, you won't. Luke chapter 15. God has to help us so that we can keep it going, at least while we're here. Therefore, that ties into Joshua this evening. Now, Luke chapter 15. And you will notice, please, remember the parable God gives to the shepherd and the sheep and that. And sliding over, just I'm interested in how he explains it. Our Lord says, if you lose a sheep, etc. In verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders and rejoicing. Got to rejoice. He found the lamb. Now, and found the lamb, and he's rejoicing. Therefore, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends, neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice. With me, why? For I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, here comes the going from the verb to the noun. I say, verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise, what are you going to say, Lord? Not only is the sheep going to be found, but I say unto you, verse 7, likewise, joy shall be in, there's your little word, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. And we all need repentance. Now God, angels, I'm in heaven. I've got to think of heaven. Here we are up in heaven thinking. Now how does heaven? Does heaven understand the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross? Does heaven understand why Jesus Christ is sitting in his perfect resurrected humanity on that throne? Do they understand why he's on that throne? With a nail print in his hands? They understand that? Oh, they do. They do. So angels, not the bad guys, the good guys. Angels, what do you know? God created you, angels, but he didn't make you like he did humans. So what do you know about humans? They're made in the image and likeness of God, to enjoy God, to tell the truth about God, to show the truth about God. God, why did you make man? To tell the truth about God. Now, so chapter 15, the angels, what do you think? Are you excited? We are excited. What is it all about? The Lamb of God becoming a Lamb of God going to the cross and dying again and rising again and saving whosoever. That's what it's all about. And angels, do you guys understand that? We do. What is it? Heaven, the Father is full of joy. It's his pleasure. It's his experience to have that. And angels agree. Verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, the woman, remember the illustration. Likewise, verse 10, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So God, it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing to be saved. Wonderfully, wonderfully saved in an awesome way. So it's your joy. Your joy. His, God's joy. And Jesus Christ is enjoying God's saving, wonderful plan of redemption. That's why he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in order to understand and enjoy the whole ball game. It's about his joy. God is saving. Not God being sovereign, he is. A new heavens and a new earth are going to be required. What's wrong with this one? No good. So God, it isn't about the kangaroo or your garden or the fruit trees or the work or the business or the pyramids or New York City. No. It's about what I have done, why I let it all happen. I created them. I died for them. It is my pleasure and delight to do so. My joy. I want you to enjoy that I am happy about saving you, that I am delighted to save you, that I created you, and I was pleased when I created you. So don't complain, well, if I was born differently, if I had differently. No, no. It isn't about your body. It isn't about your parents. It's not about your relatives. It's about you being his. And he's delighted for that. He's pleased to do that. He's joy. It's joy. What are you telling us then, Lord? John 15, 11. I want my joy to find a home in your heart. Not your joy. You don't even know what it's about. You'll never get excited. God said, I'm excited. And you need to understand why I'm excited so that you begin to have a complete, full inside. Aren't you glad you're saved? How much are you saved? 50% of you? How much more have you got left to get saved? You're all thinking about that? Don't think about that. Are you all thinking about that? How much more left have you got to get due to get saved? It's finished. Then you ought to thank God you're saved. You go to work and home and sweat and do the dishes and fall down and break your neck. But in the process of it all, you're saved. No. God is delighted to have created you and died for you. I don't know. They didn't come to sit in church. I say we can get more people to sit in church. What for? If they don't want to grow and they don't want to know, what's the sense? That's why God's down to 11. And he doesn't have many more after that either, because they all come in and they all disappear. Wow. God said, I'm delighted at what I did. Oh, I didn't mean to go over. Where should we go? Closing. Romans, Book of Romans, chapter 15. Appreciate your patience. Hope you got a little bit. I don't like you. We talk about love, but we don't even know what it is. And we talk about peace, and we don't know what that is. And we talk about joy, and we don't know what that is, except as we define it based on our experience and our understanding, which is so limited, so small, we never grab hold of what it is about. Romans 15. Paul, Spirit of God, what are you going to tell them? Verse 13. Now the God of hope, think of hope, you can't live without it. Time marches right by, and the minute you had yesterday is all gone. The hour is all gone, and you're coming up to another hour. You can't hang on to anything. It's all disappearing. Therefore, you have to have healthy anticipation, expectation, or else you're going to be in trouble. Now the God of hope, fill you. With what? All joy. And peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope. What do you get so excited about? Because God created me, loves me, died for me. Now, absent from the body, what? Present. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm headed. I say everything like we just said with Steve. Where are you, Steve? Downstairs. Steve, listen. We live. In your little heart, if you're saved, you have paradise. In the middle of poverty and persecution and trouble in the world, but in your heart, you house paradise. In the middle of it all. No? Don't you? Be joy. My joy. To you, not your joy. Forget your joy. Lay hold of what God is saying to you, what God has done for you, who God is to you. Wow. And the power of the through hope through the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God's is His work, fruit of the flesh, love, joy, peace. God, what are you going to do? The Spirit of God loves you. It's like Jesus loves me. Aha. Uh-huh. And the Spirit of God loves you. What is the Spirit of God going to do? Love you. Love what? He loves God's wonderful person who created us, Lamb of God, slain, created us, died for us, and here we are, little old nobodies. And God, you've done something wonderful. You created me. I'm dying, falling apart. So I can what? Understand that you and my heart, you aren't falling apart. My body may, but you aren't. No. No, and God, I'm here. But I'm only a moment away from being there. And I'm guaranteed being there because you are here. And you're already there. God, you ought to be excited. Shouldn't I be God? God created me for that. For what? To enjoy your awesome person. No. Our Father and God, deal with our heads and our hearts and our homes, health, wealth. God, here we are. God, we're trying to grab hold of that which belongs to you. And we get all limited and buried under the debris of our thinking, of our feeling, of our fears, of our faults, of our frustrations. God, we get buried under the just being alive and a human, trying to find enough for lunch and everything else. God, we forget it all and we lose it. God, you gave it to us, yourself, your joy. The wonderful, wonderful pleasure, your inclination to create us, to die for us, to love us, to enjoy your word And you are the Word. So we don't have to worry about our memory or our understanding. No, God, you are the Word. And you make it all happen. So as we abide in your wonderful person, God, as we do that, we're able to have it all. And you already said it. Without you, we can do nothing. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.